Welcome to That's Feminism, Bro, where we are exploring diverse voices and modern female strengths. We're here to capture and reclaim the term feminism, because unlike Justice Stewart, I know it when I see it, is not good enough for present-day women and the women who raised them. Join us to create a community of women who can support and empower each other as they go through all that life throws at them. We want to hear your story, and we want to use it to build strength, trust, and enthusiasm for our sisterhood.
Ladies, I have a lot on my mind today, and a little bit of it is about the podcast. So before we dive in, I actually wanted to talk to you a little bit about when I started That's Feminism, Bro. I knew I didn't want to spend much money, but I also knew technology and I don't always get along. So for that reason, I chose a platform called Buzzsprout. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch or promote or even track your podcast. Your show can be online and listed in all the major podcast directories like Apple, Spotify, Google, and a lot more within minutes of finishing the recording. I'm only one in over 100,000 members of Buzzsprout, but I really benefit from the weekly tutorials, podcasts, emails, and analytics that they send. If you want to start your own podcast and get a $20 Amazon gift card, you can follow the link in the show notes. That lets Buzzsprout know that I sent you, and it also helps support That Feminism, Bro. I wanted to plug that because we are going to talk a little bit about the podcast today. But before we do that, I was just thinking a lot about kind of gray lines in my life. So follow me on this one because it's going to go in a few different directions. I don't know a whole lot about social media. I think I've mentioned that before. But there is a woman that I follow on Instagram. Her name is Bryony Smith. She's a yoga instructor. And she's always doing some super cool, fun stuff. So the other day, she was doing this, like, she put up a video of just a quick, like, 30, 45 seconds of one yoga pose into another. And they were both really cool poses. So I showed it to my son. He's 13 and he knows all too much about technology, frankly. And he said, "Oh, Mom, that's a challenge. That means you're supposed to do it. And then you tag her and then she posts it." And he's saying all these things that don't totally make sense to me. But the next day when I was looking at her page again, she had all these videos of all these people doing that same little series. So then I kind of understood what he was saying. That's that these are like challenges and they're ways to formulate community. So I tried it and I failed a couple times. I tried a couple times on the post and I failed. And then I decided I was really going to go all in, and I took a good hot power class and loosened up all my muscles. And then I tried it again. I'm sorry, I'm taking off layers here. So if you hear me removing clothing, I'm keeping it classy. Don't worry, but I had an extra layer on. So I went back and I was able to do the pose, and then I recorded it. And it's true. I could have just stopped there and known that I had accomplished this thing. And thank you so much, Bryony, for, igniting that desire and creating the flow so that I could give it a shot. But I didn't. I decided to also tag her or whatever it is, you know, send it to her. Mostly because I'm now on the receiving end of this with the podcast, and these things are like, they take a lot, and you don't really know who you're doing it for or to sometimes. And it's really fun to get feedback. And I've noticed I've gotten some negative feedback, but every time somebody's like reached out to That's Feminism, Bro, and it's somebody that I didn't know, I get really excited. Like, wow, somebody in Spain doesn't like my artwork. That's awesome. So I wanted to give that back to this woman. I mean, she's got hundreds of thousands of followers, so I doubt that this one made a difference. But still, I wanted to kind of continue that. So I tagged her on it. And my 9-year-old, who knows about as much about social media as I do, was like, "Oh my gosh, Mom's going to be famous. Mom's an influencer." And we started talking a little bit about that. He wants to know if I want to be a famous YouTube star or a famous influencer. And I said, "No, I don't. But, you know, if we're being honest, I do want to influence someone. I hope that this gets listened to. I hope that this motivates somebody. I hope that it inspires somebody. I do want to influence those of you that are listening to then say something to somebody else and influence that person. And I want the message to spread. And I want it because it's fucking crazy out there right now. You know, I mean, what was it, 30, 50 years ago that guys started telling women, oh, you love this guy and you want to commit yourself to him for the rest of your life and have his babies. That's not feminism. What you need to do is get out there and give your body to as many men as you can possibly give. And sure, you'll feel sick to your stomach afterwards. And maybe you'll get an STD or a pregnancy, but that's okay. We'll kill it off for you. And you can give us more of yourself. That's real feminism. And it's just gone downhill from there. And I think that we're now in a state where all of a sudden being a feminist means that you want what, teenage boys going into the teenage girls' locker room like they did in Loudoun County, Virginia, and raping girls and then leaving because they identify as a woman? You want 9-year-old kids to be taking supplements so that they can get sex changes at the age of 14, even though currently my 9-year-old's absolutely confident that he's going to go on to be a famous football player or an airplane? I mean, like, this is... it's fallen so far. So I do kind of want to influence people. I don't need to be famous for it. I don't need to be a millionaire, but I think I do want you to hear me. And I want your hearing me to cause you to do something. And I want that to cause another woman to do something. And I want it to grow. So that brought me to this like gray lines idea where I'm not really sure. Sometimes I'm not really sure if my motives are always pure or not. And I think often they're a little bit in between. So do I want to be an influencer? No. Do I want to influence people? Yes. Is there a difference? I don't know. One sounds so shitty. Like, oh, I'm a YouTube influencer and I'm famous and I've got this many likes. That sounds so depressing. I really don't want that for myself. But the other one sounds so like, no, I just want to influence people to be good and loving and strong. That sounds so beautiful. So I don't know if there's really a difference. You know, sometimes it's just in the way you say it. But that brought me to the podcast. I am doing this as an act of service. I absolutely believe that I am doing this to serve. I think it's a great way to serve my spouse because it brings in a little bit of extra money. I think it's a great way to serve my children because it shows that I'm willing to speak out and share my story and help to grow people. And I'm willing to bring other women in so that I can share their story and help to grow people. And I think it's service to my community because I think that every time you hear just one other person stand up and say something, it gives you the opportunity to stand up and say something. So I am absolutely doing this as an act of service. That said, I get something out of it. I love these interviews. I'm having so much fun. I'm a curious person. I get to ask people lots of questions about stuff. Wait till you hear the finance one. I mean, I know nothing about some of this stuff, and I get to ask all of these incredibly intelligent women, and they get to tell me about it. So, you know, I get something from that. I get something when you guys give that feedback. I get that excitement, and I get that enthusiasm. I just outright enjoy this. You know, this has been a lot of fun for me. So, it's not selfish, it's service. But there is a line somewhere there when it becomes the other. Right now, I'm confident that this is service, but I do benefit from it. Another example of something like that where the line is just so thin. I am more than happy to take the kids to the 9 o'clock movie showing and drop them off. And then come home, my husband says, wow, thanks, that was awesome. I really didn't feel like going out. And then it's 11 o'clock and the movie is over. And it's dark and it's rainy. And I say, okay, well, I dropped them off so you can go pick them up. And that's when it looks like service. It looks like I was doing him a favor by dropping them off, but it's really selfish. I didn't want to go out at 11 o'clock at night. And I saw that coming. So I went ahead and I did it in the beginning. So that is where selfish is disguised as service. And then there's other times where, service is disguised as selfish. If I know that he is traveling for work and he's going to leave tomorrow morning and he won't be back for 2 days, then I go out and I go to yoga and, you know, maybe get my nails done or something. And that looks like, are you kidding? This is my last night and you're gone and you've been gone for 2.5 hours. Like, I had to take care of everything by myself. It looks really selfish, but I say, well, no, if this is not an This isn't an IOU, you owe me. This is honestly tomorrow when I'm feeling a little overwhelmed. I'm going to look down at my nails and they're going to look nice. And I'm going to take a couple breaths and I'm going to be fatigued anyways because I just put in a lot of effort in this yoga class and I'm not going to have the desire to go out and work out. So I'm going to be better when you're gone because I took this time now. So that's a time when service is disguised as selfish. And then sometimes I think it's just really hard to see the difference between these. So I'm throwing out a couple more of these. I'm calling them gray lines. The first one we'll do was that selfish service one. I've got a few more, and I'd love to hear if you have any, because as I started thinking about these, a lot of them popped up, and then a lot that I didn't really find affected me. And maybe there's something out there that you're constantly battling with, and I'm like, oh, I didn't even think of that one. But it's just so interesting because good can get bad, and bad can get good so quickly. It reminds me of that interview question. What's your greatest strength and what's your greatest weakness? Well, if we're being honest, they're probably the exact same. The thing that I am super good at is taking over our family schedule and making sure that everybody's in the right place at the right time. And I have planners and I have a dry erase board and I have a calendar and I love it. I absolutely love being organized. But my greatest weakness is that I am incredibly controlling. And if you want to go to a friend's house and it's last minute and it wasn't on the dry erase board Monday morning, I have a lot of trouble letting you go to the friend's house. And you can't come in and just throw at me that you're having people over or that my husband wants to go do a thing because I'm in super, super control. And when people shake that up, it doesn't bode well. So this greatest strength, greatest weakness, it makes you realize these are just traits. These are just things. I'm the one that gets to decide whether they're good or they're bad, whether I'm using them in the right way or in the wrong way. Service can be service or selfish, and selfish can be selfish or service. And it's up to me to be really, really authentic with which one it's going to be. And that's a challenge because I think I'm really good at talking. Well, I know I'm really good at talking to myself. I do it all the time, but I think I'm really good at convincing myself that I'm doing something for the right reason. And I'm probably not. Or maybe I am. See, I don't know. It's a tricky thing. I think two things that keep me grounded and help me to be a little bit more on the side of right would be a really tight friend, which for me is my spouse. I have a husband who will right away say, like, I'm calling BS on that. That's selfish. You're doing that because you want to do that. You're making it sound like you want to bake for everybody else, but you're craving chocolate chip cookies right now, and we're probably not even going to get any of them. So he won't call me out on that stuff. And then there are, and he'll keep me grounded. And then I think also my faith can keep me grounded. I think I'm really good at saying, like, okay, how about this? I really want to do this, and I think it's for the right reasons, but I'm not sure. God, you take over. And then when the time comes to buy the plane ticket for the thing I felt like was the right reason, the tickets just all of a sudden overnight shot up a good couple $100. I'm like, darn, that was God. He was telling me it was not for the right reasons. So, okay, now I know. So I think that those two things help keep me grounded. But I also think that you can talk yourself into and out of everything in life. So you can convince yourself that something is one when it's really the other. Anyway, just because this is fun, I'm going to throw out a couple gray lines that I notice pop up a lot in my life. The other one is, am I jealous or am I motivated? As a woman, I see this so much in myself and I see it in other women. And I think I can tell the difference in other women. I think I can tell the difference between when somebody is jealous and when somebody is motivated, but I can't always tell it in me. I have a really good friend who's a badass triathlete and, I'll do something and then she doesn't live near me and then she'll like be inspired and then she'll go do it. And then she does it better. And then I'm like, well, wait a second, hold on. And then I realize, oh, wait, that's me being jealous. And then I start picking it apart and I'm like, okay, true. I was a little jealous. She definitely did this a little bit better. And sometimes I'm even a little bit like jealous enough that I'm like, well, she doesn't have as many kids or she didn't, you know, she has better equipment or whatever it is. But I often come back to after that quick pang of jealousy goes away, I can actually tell myself, yes, that was jealous. That was gross. Get rid of that. But how about you get motivated? How about you ask her what her training plan was? How about you see if you can trade some swim workouts with her? How about you get inspired by the way she did it and see if you and she can do a race together, or maybe you try that race. So it doesn't always have to be jealous. I do get jealous. It does pop up. That's super real. But I can sit with that, or I can flip that switch. And that's the mental thing. Like, I can convince myself one or the other when I'm not sure which one's right and which one's wrong. I know jealousy is wrong, so I start to convince myself that I'm motivated. And honestly, I think at the end of the day, I am, because I really get inspired by this woman, and she really pushes me to do more. Now, sometimes I get together with her and I have to run with her, and then it turns into jealousy and maybe a little bit of frustration again. But ultimately, I come home and I just realize that I put up my fastest mile I have in a while. And I did that because I was trying to chase her. And so now I'm no longer jealous again. I'm motivated. So they can flip-flop that way. Another time I see it in myself is when I see, I'm super happy with my life. First of all, that's my little disclaimer. I'm happy with my life. I'm happy with my kids. But sometimes I see these women crushing it, and they're kind of balancing more than I am. And I'm like, wow, I don't know how they're doing this. They really love their jobs. And I don't know if I loved my job when I did my job. And they're really happy at home, and everybody in their family is really happy. And it just seems to work out really well for everybody. And those times, again, I can be like, oh man, I kind of want that. But then I realize, like, well, I love what I have, though, and I can start to work towards something else. I can get motivated by what I see in them. Sure, they've been in the workforce for, you know, longer years than I have, so I won't be able to be exactly where they are, but I can be inspired by them. So that's another one for me is, am I jealous or am I motivated? And then that got me thinking about, am I cocky or am I confident? That's another one of those gray lines. I think it's really important to know my strengths. Actually, I think it is my obligation to share my gifts and talents. I think I was made as a unique individual by God, and I think I was made pretty spectacular, and it's my job to share what I know I'm good at. Like I said, I know I'm good at the control stuff. I know I'm good at the planning stuff. So when it comes to stuff in my family or in my job or at work or with friends or at school and PTO, I'm like, I got this. I can do the planning thing for days. I can bring that to the table. I think that's important to know that that's something that I'm good at. And I also think that it's important to be confident. I look at so many of these young women and I just think to myself, like, oh, honey, just, you have so much to offer. Why don't you see that? But it's hard to find the line between confident and cocky. And sometimes you feel like you've crossed it, even when just, I can't even remember what I said a couple seconds ago, but I said something about how awesome it was. And I kind of flinched a little bit, like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said it like that. That sounds a little cocky. But I was talking about a strength that I have and I should be confident in it. So, you know, maybe I wasn't cocky. Maybe I was just confident. I can see where it can get so confusing, and I can see where you have to really walk the line carefully. And I can see where it's really beneficial to have that best friend or that faith where you're like, okay, hold on a second. Am I doing this correctly? Am I doing this the right way? Am I doing this for a wholesome, good response, or am I doing this because I'm a cocky loudmouth? If I have one I get wrong, I can take the selfish service one, and I can usually see the truth. I can take the jealous, motivated one, and if I can't see the truth, I can usually switch it to being motivated, which I think is far better than being jealous. But the cocky, confident one, I don't ever really see that one that clearly. And then the last one, I think I'm pretty good about this, but it's interesting because it's personal. So I think that I am friendly and not fake, but I also think that I have no tolerance for being fake. So if there's a line there, I'm going to stop myself, even if it comes off as a little abrasive or unfriendly. And that one's fun to see in other people because maybe they don't look at it the way I look at it. That's one that's like a really personal line. So for me, I have zero tolerance with just dishonesty, but also like inauthenticity. Is that the word? Inauthenticity? I don't know. I don't like fake. I can't stand it. I don't want you to say you like a thing and then walk away and tell me, you didn't really like the thing. I would just prefer you not say anything. You don't have to be mean. No need to be a bitch about it. But, you know, you don't have to stroke the thing you don't believe in, especially if it's something you don't believe in or don't agree with. But usually it's not that that deep. Usually it's just a superficial thing. A lot of times people have told me, oh my gosh, Bridget, you totally put your foot in your mouth. And I'm like, no, I didn't. I said what I was thinking. I wear my heart on my sleeve. You will know if I am interested in this conversation or disinterested in this conversation. You will know if I agree with your opinion or disagree with your opinion. And it might just be about a book, or it might be about something much bigger, but I'm always pretty honest about where I'm coming from. I like to please people though, so sometimes it's friendly and it might cross the line there, but for the most part, I think more than anything, I get accused of like, oh my gosh, Bridget, you should not have said that. And I'm like, why? Why should I have not said that? That's what I was thinking at the time. I didn't tell her she looked fat in that dress. I wasn't mean. I just said a thing that maybe was off color, or maybe, I don't know. I don't know why I get that accusation, but I used to believe that people used to say, oh my gosh, Bridget, put your foot in your mouth. And then I used to reevaluate and be like, shoot, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Oh, darn. Okay. What do I need to say to correct that? Because I am a people pleaser and I don't like people to be mad at me. And I realized like that was a lot of effort and it always ended up being disingenuous anyways, and I'm better off. And now the relationships that have survived because they know like, that's Bridget. She's going to say the thing that she's going to say and it's going to be out there. So anyway, this was just kind of a fun one to talk about because I started with that influencer concept and then I started thinking about, well, what am I doing and what are the motives and is something selfish or service and can it be both? And then I went into those other ones. Am I jealous or motivated? Am I cocky or confident? Am I friendly or fake? And if you have any, I'd love to hear them because I really enjoyed my run today where I was daydreaming of all of this and thinking it through. And I enjoy the opportunity that I get to share it with you. So not to be selfish with this podcast, I hope you get something out of it as well. But yes, I did have a lot of fun the past 22 or so minutes. One more thing before I throw that exit on there. I just started a Patreon account where you can go to support the show. I just set up my page, so it's going to be a little bit more engaging as I move through and create more memberships there. But if you're looking for me and you want to support the show, please check out my Patreon. It's under Bridget Van Buskirk. And you can always find me on Instagram at That's Feminism Bro, on Facebook at Bridget Van Buskirk, and of course, Gmail at That's Feminism Bro. I will link to the show notes, anything that I need. And I know I mentioned Buzzsprout at the beginning, so I will put that in the show notes as well. Have a great day, ladies. Take care. God bless. That's Feminism Bro. Thanks for joining us today. Please like, share, and review. You can find me on Instagram and at That's Feminism Bro, or via Facebook through Bridget Van Buskirk. You're always welcome to shoot me an email at thatsfeminismbro@gmail.com. I'm happy to answer any questions or concerns you may have. Music is by Pixabay, and artwork is by KBB.